We are now going to turn our attention to what is happening on the ground in Puerto Rico. Natalie Jaresco, Executive Director of the Financial Oversight and Management Board for Puerto Rico, spoke to Congress on Tuesday, asking them to help with housing, water, and power on the island after Hurricane Maria. She said, quote, without unprecedented levels of help from the United States government, the recovery we were planning for will fail. And of course, we have to keep in mind that people living in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens. At current count, at least 51 people have died directly from Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, likely many more when you take into account those who are dying from lack of medicine, electricity, as well as for diseases bound to happen given the humanitarian disaster. Puerto Rican authorities estimate the damage will cost the island between $45 and $95 billion, but Congress has only approved $5 billion thus far. According to Reuters, as many as 10,000 Puerto Ricans have left the region for the mainland U.S., basically becoming environmental refugees. And on Thursday, FEMA said it would be transporting survivors from Puerto Rico to the mainland U.S., giving priority to the 3,000 people who are in shelters. And again, we have to remember these are environmental refugees. A study by the Center for Puerto Rican Studies at Hunter College in New York estimates that 114,000 to 213,000 Puerto Rico residents will leave the country, resulting in a 14% decrease in population by 2019. Less than half of Puerto Rico has electricity and still many without running water, thousands still without running water. What we're going to do now is go to a short clip from ABC on the situation on the ground.
Esta es mi casa. Oh. No podemos vivir aquí.
She's saying after the hurricane, there's no way she can live here. I mean, if you look, the roof is on the floor. This is her second bedroom.
Nada de lo que hay ahí ya sirve.
And nothing that's inside now works. Everything is destroyed now. Totally ruined.
This is the home of 65-year-old Blanca Altagracia Gomez, who lived in a modest but beautiful home with air conditioning and modern conveniences until Hurricane Maria hit.
So now this is the upstairs part of the home, and you can see the FEMA tarps are across all the roofs. They have placed a tarp on top of the roof, but when it rains, the rain still comes inside. At night, this is where she sleeps. They have a mosquito net over their bed because everything is wet. FEMA sent her a letter, basically, which says that they've reviewed everything and she's eligible for $500. ¿Qué puedes hacer con eso?
No sé.
She doesn't know what she would do with $500. She says she doesn't have family that can lend her money. Even if she borrowed money, she can't pay it back. What is she going to do?
Driving deeper into the island, there were signs of the hurricane's destruction everywhere. But we also saw signs of determination and ingenuity.
Oh, look at this. So we are approaching what looks like a place where people are getting water from the mountain. Look at that. That is very resourceful.
Jose Gonzalez
is saying there's a gentleman that the first day after the hurricane put this up so that the town, the people of Puerto Rico, could have fresh water. People are taking it, they're boiling it, and then they're able to use it. And they're indebted to him. But this is, again, the resilience of Puerto Rico.
I'd now like to welcome Desiree Lynn. Desiree is a Tampa, Florida-based social climate and economic justice organizer. She founded the refugee solidarity group Love Has No Borders and is an active longtime member of Food Not Bombs Tampa. Tampa. She's done disaster relief work in New Orleans, St. Augustine, West Virginia, as well as across Florida post-Hurricane Irma. She recently returned from Puerto Rico, where she delivered medical and food aid with a grassroots network called Mutual Aid Disaster Relief post-Hurricane Maria. And she's preparing to go on a three-month tour with that organization. Desiree, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Desiree, I see from your bio that you have been doing this kind of humanitarian work for several years, traveling to Palestine, going to Lebanon, and other places, and you consider yourself, you say you're an anarchist and a vocal anti-fascist. But Desiree, tell us about your impressions of what it was like on the ground in Puerto Rico.
Absolutely. I just want to mention something in the story that you played, the clip of the family who were had the tarps over their roof from FEMA and who were very sadly given a check for $500 from FEMA. Mm-hmm. That's terrible, and it's an example of FEMA's failure, but that's a standout moment because most people have not even heard from FEMA, and many people in the rural municipalities don't have roofs anymore, and there are no tarps, so the rain is just freely coming into their houses and they're sweeping it out. This is a result of FEMA's bottlenecking resources and wasting the people-powered resources that they have on the ground. But the things that I saw while I was there were massive public safety issues, roads where there were walls from the side of the highway that were collapsed fully into a lane of the highway, didn't even have a single cone around them, a truck or anything diverting or warning people to get out of that lane. Likewise, with hundreds of trees and debris and street lines and light poles that are down in the streets, there's not even a basic visible sign of concern for public safety and for harm reduction going forward for people that are having to exist within this space post-Hurricane Maria. We also visited with anti-colonialist, anti-racist communities that were gathering on a mountain summit in Humacao, where they had waited for government and FEMA assistance to arrive, which never did. So they organized daily food shares. So they're cooking out of a kitchen that used to be the site of festivals and concerts in their communities. Well, that stage is wrecked now and the roof is off, but they're still cooking every day for the people of that community. So what we've also seen in the context of medical access being and resources being shared with people there were that communities were taking us from house to house where there were elderly people suffering from an exacerbation of chronic conditions like cardiac and respiratory issues that are sweltering in, you know, soaring temperatures right now in Puerto Rico. And we're in living rooms where sweat is dripping off of us and we've just gone in for a few minutes to do a check on someone where they're having to exist in these conditions day in and day out. And one man we even had to transport to the hospital who was critical with chest pains, and FEMA had a tent and were stationed outside of the emergency room and told us, sorry, they're closed and couldn't help him. So we saw a lot of people suffering. We saw a lot of things that would lead us to believe that the number, it's actually set at 55 right now, of confirmed deaths in Puerto Rico from Hurricane Maria is greatly, greatly, and tragically underestimated, which cuts the amount of support, the amount of concern, and the amount of activity and resources that are getting to the people. So there was a lot of frustrating instances of seeing federal agents by the thousands occupying a Sheraton, a luxury hotel by the convention center, along with FBI, FEMA workers, other state police from around the U.S. And they're in air conditioning. It was cool in there. It was cold. They had a catered, dedicated buffet. They had Starbucks. They had internet service. They were resting in a room that used to be used as a clinic for people in Puerto Rico immediately after the hurricane was transitioned to a rest area for FEMA workers. So we saw a lot of just instances that were incredibly frustrating where resources weren't being utilized in the way that they needed to be utilized, critically and immediately for the people. And one other thing was the mention of the air bridge, the subsequent mass exodus of these climate refugees that are going to be moved from Puerto Rico to Florida and New York because of what's happening. Well, this mass exodus wouldn't have been necessary. Like FEMA saying they've never taken this step before. Well, they aren't very apt and adept at doing the things that they're supposed to know how to do and provide. So then turning to creating an air bridge to transport climate refugees, well, they weren't, with this drastic steps wouldn't have been necessary if the less drastic steps were taken immediately to preserve life and to reduce harm and reduce suffering for the people in Puerto Rico post Hurricane Maria.
Right. And of course, I just would like our listeners to know that we are also going to be doing some updates about the non-U.S. territories that were so hard hit, places like Dominica, but even some of the U.S. Territories that are overwhelmingly people of African descent, like in St. Croix and St. John, that were totally destroyed just about, and we're hearing very, very little. But Desiree Lynn, for people who want to support your efforts, what should they do?
So I think the best way to support is to participate in the effort. Just quickly, our group Mutual Aid Disaster Relief is a decentralized movement. We come from looking at revolutionaries like the Black Panthers and providing survival programs. We're decentralized, autonomous, solidarity, not charity-based relief efforts. And for people who would like to support these efforts, get involved, like see through the rhetoric and propaganda that people like Donald Trump are putting out there and propping up against the ruins of Puerto Rico, just to try to not, you know, have the legacy of this being Trump's Katrina. You know, we want to for people to know that our, you know, Mutual Aid Disaster Relief, we are a decentralized movement. People can look at mutualaiddisasterrelief.org and find out like our core vision and our mission and our principles, which are viewing disasters through a wider lens and contextualizing environmental racism and concentrated poverty, climate chaos and capitalism exacerbated climate chaos. And viewing these communities that are demonized on a daily basis, communities of color, marginalized, impoverished communities that are now suffering through a disaster. So the disaster didn't begin when the rain started to fall and the wind started to pick up. The disaster began long before that. And, you know, we see it as a long-term effort. We want to...
We understand that, Desiree. We are short of time, though. So give us that website again. Thank you.
Yeah, mutualaiddisasterrelief.org.
Right. Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate you and your work. We want to thank the Global Justice Ecology Project that we partner with for our weekly Earth Watch. And we're going to be continuing our coverage, not only of Puerto Rico, but Dominica and St. Croix and other islands in the Caribbean so hard hit by Hurricane Maria. Desiree Lynn, thank you for joining us. She's with Love Has No Borders. Thank you, Desiree.